All right, Brian's on his phone, and welcome back to On Tap.
Well, I have to be on my phone because it can't be on this thing.
Oh, yes.
Still.
I'm just glad to be back.
What does it take? Just a normal standard DC?
Yeah, just a regular USB-C, I think. Or it's a
charge it
iPad.
At some point in life.
But it made it back. No different than old girl made it back.
Old Faithful, sir. That's
yep.
good.
Still, it's actually pushed. Jay did not hook us up this week. Yep. But
it's coming soon. I talked to him. It's coming soon.
Oh, good. We had our trip to Southern National. We did our special edition. Just came out 2 days ago. But here we are again, filming episode 9.
Had our first repeat guest.
Doug Barnes.
Second episode.
Yep. And I think overall, the speed weeks went well.
For our race director stance, it really went well.
Yep.
Everything was clean and green for the most part. I think we started getting a little weird there with the Chargers and Legends on the last day. But outside of that, it was, I don't think anyone left with a really tore up race car.
No, I didn't really hear anything negative. I mean, usually, like, someone leaves and they're very vocal about negativity. I know last time I left as race director from Thanksgiving Classic, I was informed of my shortcomings. But it's all good.
I was taking my notes, too, so if it did get weird, I know exactly. Have it be one step ahead of it.
Go off of what I did wrong. But I think everything went well. I think the broadcast was good. I know it was. The way it all played out. It's so weird with the broadcast. Normal day, I do not want anything to happen to anybody. But broadcast, like, green to checkers, like, come on, man. Like, can we get something here? it's a great race, and as a race fan and as a race promoter, awesome. But as the broadcast side, you're like, all right, we need a little bit of action here.
Yeah, especially that Wednesday night. It was a different pace from your normal long late model stock car races. 125 laps straight through, and there was no comers and goers. I don't know if it just attributes to the F45 star or just the balance that the front couple cars had, but there was no, like, let's fall back to 10th and then make a late charge. Everybody that was the top three finishers or top five stayed the top five the whole race.
Yep. I think your leaders were pretty much the same all weekend, really. Or like Jared Fryer.
Yeah, Jared and Doug were kind of in a league of their own there. Yeah.
Which, I mean, when Jared started the week, I mean, the way it played itself out, you're like, oh, man, I don't know if anyone's going to catch him.
Yep.
He was 2/10 faster in qualifying.
26 to a 38 or so was the qualifying.
Lapped up to sixth place at some point, that first night. And I talked to the Kellys for a little while there, and they were like, I don't remember how many times I got lapped. Because Jared was that thing was rolling.
Yeah, it was.
And
he had wrapped the bottom really well and come off nice and straight. Had plenty of forward drive, it looked like. Except the last lap.
Yes, we said. Yeah.
She hung up pretty good the last lap.
But day two comes and switches up. He qualified, what, 7th? We talked to Matt, and he qualified 7th, and yep. Matt qualified 8th, or vice versa. But, it changed, and he would lead. And Doug said in our last episode that he's always been good, just like you were. You were really good at this, managing tires. Even though it might just be that little bit that you didn't know you needed. But
his philosophy on practice was kind of always my philosophy on practice as well. Like, it's not all about the fast lap. Like, obviously you want to see the cars got speed for qualifying, but the ass don't lie.
Right.
If it's driving good, and, I mean, it's got good drivability, good turn, good forward bite on the exit, I mean, what more could you ask for? I mean, it almost goes to play where you got to be sure of your own abilities. So that's kind of, I mean, I'm not toot my own horn or anything, but I always said, if I get it driving good, like, okay, I trust my own abilities to outrun somebody else.
Right.
I'm not worried about the speed charts. I'm not worried about winning practice. If it's driving good, well, it'll play out in the end. And I think Doug has that same mentality, and it looks to work out for him.
Yep. Yeah, like I said, he had a couple of runs that I thought Jared had him, but he just slowly pick and pick and pick, and then all of a sudden he was there. And there was time at one point, from what I saw, Doug was sideways off the corner. I was like, no way that's going to work, and he still made the move.
Yeah,
so
that Saturday he got we had a caution. I think the 325 laps of racing from Wednesday to Saturday, one caution. And it was with, 15 or 16 to go, I think, on Saturday afternoon. And then Jared did give him a shot getting the three and got the lead. And, I mean, they kind of went back and forth a lot. But so much respect between them two and so much respect between the whole field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they that was the one thing, like I said, Ryan Wilson talked about is that everybody was given and taken where it was needed to keep that. Because it takes the driver. Like we say in the driver's meeting all the time, you and I can sit up here and stomp our feet and cross our arms and say, we're going to do this, and you're going to get penalized. It's really up to them.
Yep.
I mean, we're
them and the spotters for sure.
We have a rule and we have a system that if you spin someone, you go to the rear. And if you don't, you don't. So it's up to you guys to do the job, because we can only say so much. Like, I remember, I think it was last year, maybe year before, there was a legend car race. We had 30 cars here, and I had to go on the front stretch at one point and get on the race receiver and tell them, this is a you guys problem. Mm-hmm. Like, we're calling everybody back. We are now 25 minutes in and two laps in. So at some point, the race car driver and the spotters, like you said, have to get involved, and I think they all did a great job.
For sure.
Actually, all divisions.
Oh yeah, everything
really,
was good.
really, all divisions.
So Saturday, the Chargers briefly, but nothing terrible. And that only started because I think Gerald Benton like lost an engine, and that's what created a caution. And we're firm believers that cautions breed cautions.
Right.
So everybody always asks about competition. We're never going to throw a competition caution. Sorry, go back. Like work on your stuff.
Yeah.
Like do your homework in the shop. I think it was all good. Like I said, that caution with 15 or 16 laps to go was just kind of a fluke deal. I think Casey was underneath one of the rev cars, and they pinched them. They were getting lapped. But outside of that, everything was good.
I-95 Showdown Race 2. Kind of excited about the conversations. Like, I've had small talks with other teams, other drivers, other car owners, and they speak on the I-95 like as if it was always been something. So someone will call and be like, oh, so how'd your I-95 stuff go? I'm like, oh, it was good. But they're speaking on, like, what we're doing with the two tracks.
It definitely grew for Southern National. I think we had 12 guys and girls, well, guys, signed up for the icebreaker. And obviously we say that sign up before you take the green flag, because anybody can go out there and have a good run and say, I'll sign up for it now.
Right.
So we want you to declare for the I-95 showdown before you take the green flag. But we had 12 for the icebreaker, and I think Diaz got six more, so we're at 18 drivers signed up right now. And that cut line after the fourth race here will be the SunFun 101. So we go back to Diaz one more time June 14th, and then we wrap up here in July for the SunFun. But the fourth place is pretty tight.
Yeah. I saw, was it fifth is tied?
There's like four or five guys tied with like 17 behind Matt, but I mean, they're all tied for that fifth spot.
Right.
And they're only like a couple points out of fourth.
Right. So exactly what we wanted is what's happening.
Yeah,
so
the curveball, of course, will be June 14th. I believe that's the only conflicting date with the car store. So it'll be interesting to see. I think Andrew Grady spoke about this at the beginning of the year, like see where we are at currently with the car store, see where we at currently with the I-95 showdown, and see which one to take.
Right.
Now, obviously, we would love for him to come for the I-95 showdown, but we'll see how it goes out.
Yep. Where's Doug in that?
Doug's currently second.
Yep.
He's another one.
So
he could throw a curveball if he chooses car store. I mean, he'll drop down, and some of them other guys will elevate their position. So it could be interesting, to say the least.
And then he could come, like, and again, this is why we did this, but he can come back to us and gain that back if he has a good day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then if he, for some reason, doesn't make the first round, it all resets for two races.
Back.
Yeah,
right.
For the battle back.
Yeah, no, super cool. That's why Brian and I drink beer, because we come up with cool
Those ideas come to us after beer.
So, it was a great first day. Wednesday was having one of your biggest races as the day one, whether it was broadcast or even operationally, always tough. But I think everything, like I said, I think...
Yeah, we touched on it on the ending segment for the last episode, but Mason did a great job making the schedule. I mean, for having races on workday weeks, the week of the workdays, I guess, on Wednesday and Thursday, everything started later. It got done reasonably, thankful for the spotters and drivers. I mean, it could have got really weird, especially that Friday night till Saturday morning. We could have been there because I think we took the first green flag Friday at, 9 o'clock?
Yeah, it was right at 9.
So that one could have went all night, and then we just roll it back into it Saturday. But everyone, worked, a lot of respect, worked with us, and I think Mason did a great job with it.
Yep. Weather was perfect. Got a little chilly on Friday. Saturday was beautiful. But, weather was good. Weather for this weekend's good. We've got racing now, so... For you and I, kind of crazy to spend all week in Southern National and
kind of get spoiled a little bit. You just see the facility, and then you come back here, you're like,
I got to clean this thing.
I mean, this place makes good racing, but man, sure would be nice to have the equipment like we had last week.
Get that vacuum truck and get all the sweepers.
Yeah.
Brian and I are out there with push brooms just, is this better?
Fire up the backpack blower way down all day long.
But no, we're back home here in Studio 17. Which studio is this? It's way down.
It's whatever's below Southern National Studio, that's for sure.
But we're back at the house, and tires came in today. Brian stacked them F45 stars.
For late models.
For late models, yep. Paired up his 85 and three quarters for trucks and
limited. So everybody be on the same old, same barcode and all that stuff. Yep. Yeah. Fun stuff.
Yeah, so it's a ton of fun. We'd love to. We're actually, next episode, we're going to have somebody with a camera just follow us while we just curse, mostly you, but just curse the whole time, like throwing tires around, just to show you guys what it's like to get ready for a race. So when you come, it's less bitching because, you know, you at least see the work that's put in. But
I still think it'd be the same bitching.
Oh, it'd be the same, yeah, for
it's,
sure.
It's synonymous with short track racing.
It's fine. But, this week's crazy. We got a lot going on. So we got home Sunday afternoon. Monday came back here. Paul and I worked on the trailer. Brian built the points and got all the social media stuff dialed in. And today we're here, unloaded tires. Had a couple cars testing that won't be racing with us this week, but had a couple cars testing. And now it's race week. So we got Friday, I think we're going to have it. So this is an Ultra Broadcasting conversation. Catch My Drift is going to be joining us. They'll be on the broadcast this week. So they're going to be
Nice.
So we've got Catch My Drift at Southern National. It's going to be sending us their stream. So we'll be able to produce that Friday as well as Saturday. So Saturday, we've talked about it 100 times that $24.99 is nothing, because Saturday alone you're going to get, you can have drifting, you can have asphalt, and you can have dirt racing all in the same place, all in the same day.
Yep. From your living room. Just go to one race. You'll spend more than $25.
Which I've said this for the last probably three episodes, is that I was on the phone again, today, and we are inches from apps being available on all streaming platforms. So we'll make it easier for everyone to get to, so you don't have to try to send it from your phone. But man, it's going to be a cool weekend. Looking forward to our first dirt race. Like I told you before, watching a dirt race, me in my head, I can just see what it's going to look like, and it's going to be so cool. We got to move the schedule around. So Legends are first. That way Owen can get up there in turn three at Lakeview for camera.
That's a you problem. Yeah. You said I worry about racetrack, you worry about broadcasting. That's a you problem.
It's a true story.
Schedule's set.
Yeah. Owen, if he got paid, he'd probably quit racing just to go do the camera. But no, it's going to be a great weekend. What do we got? I think late model stock count, charger count should be pretty good this weekend.
I think so. Yeah, I think we'll be pretty good. Everywhere I think we'll be good. Keelan Harvick's coming to run limited, correct?
Yeah, Keelan's coming to run limited, yep. So that'll be another good one.
Super Trucks, first points race. The Icebreaker was a good truck count, I thought. Adam wasn't here, and I think Julian Primus is coming this week. He wasn't here at the Icebreaker. So if you have them guys that come in the same, which we always battle with trucks, if everyone shows up at one time, it should be 15 trucks or so.
Yep, so going to be an exciting weekend coming up here at Florence Motor Speedway, Lakeview Motor Speedway, and as well as Southern National Motor Speedway. So we appreciate you joining us. We've got a lot of cool stuff this episode. Have a chance to speak to my 92-year-old grandfather. We've spoke about him a lot on this podcast, and Steve Post has talked a lot about Gentleman Jim. We've talked about my family stuff, so looking for some guests today, and he was hanging around up there in upstate New York and decided to join us, as well as we're going to talk to Ryan Zima here shortly. So definitely stay tuned. It's going to be another good episode. Every time we tune in to this, we're going to try to make it better and better. So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you on the other side of the break on tap. Everybody, welcome back to On Tap. Special edition coming out of Southern National. We had a great week there. We talked about it in the open. Brian probably is going to have less to say than usual here in a minute, but I think for...
I'm a race fan at heart, so I'll just tune in and listen, and it'll be a good time.
So while we were getting tires done today, trying to figure out who we should interview, and Steve Post, Grandpa, talked a lot about you, and thought it'd be a great time to bring you in. So welcome, Grandpa. This is my 92-year-old, right? Isn't that what you are now?
Yep. You got that right.
92 years old. He's still kicking, still working on race cars, and just wanted to kind of bring you in. People have heard a lot about you. We speak numerous times about the old days and things you did and things that our family has done, and just thought it would be a good time to bring you in and talk about it. So the first thing I'll bring up, one of my kind of favorite things, let's just start from Brian's t-shirt. 1958 is when you started, correct?
No, before that.
Oh, before it.
Both. Yeah.
Yeah, I got to change all my t-shirts.
I had a race car in 52 till I got drafted.
Oh, 1951, that's what the shirt says.
Then after I got out of the service, I went to work for my father, and then he got his gas up to Art Plunge's gas station, and he quit racing. And he said, "You want a race car? I got another race car. You play Angel Gentiles. If you want it, you can go get it." So me and Phil Taylor, went up and got it. I was a junkyard. And so we got started.
That's awesome. Paul, if you get a chance to turn Brian and I's speakers up out here so we can hear him a little bit better. So 51, and then as it went along, and so Grandpa, Bob Dillner, Steve Post, we've all talked about back in the day when you first started, those were cars that you just went and got, like you said, you went and picked up. They're not the cars of today, the way the modifieds are and all that stuff. So, you know, we call you true men versus the guys that are racing today, because back then, I think TJ still has your old, not Vespa helmet, but your one helmet that you used to wear. It was basically just a skull cap.
Yeah, he's got the one helmet I give him. He took the one helmet. I can't remember which one he's got.
It's a gold just cap with like a buckle on the bottom.
Right. Don't think that was my first hat.
Yes, yeah.
I don't think we wore it. I remember when we first started, we didn't have no fire suit. No fire suit.
Yep. Yeah, TJ could use that helmet daily, probably just walking around. But racing was different then. We joked about. When was your first modified win? Because you won a ton of late model stuff, but your first modified win was when?
By Changa.
Yeah.
It was
92. Right. So you started in 51, won a ton of late models. A Hall of Fame career when it came to late model stuff. And then in 1992, won your first late model race. And still, I saw pictures the other day, still working on modifieds today, correct?
Well, not too much. I don't work too much anymore, but I hang around and see what's going on.
When was the last time you drove?
2008, Oswego.
What do you get?
Pete Britton was driving for us, and we had another car, and they tried to get George Kent to drive it, and they didn't, so I took it out because they didn't have enough cars. I just took it out for a few laps.
That's cool. Yeah, like I said, he was racing, you know, just driving all the way into his 80s. Yeah. And
57 year career in racing, 51 to 08, right?
Yep. Jeez. So it's amazing, and I'm proud to be associated with the Zacharias name, and you're the patriarch of the family. And I tell people, one of my favorite stories is your shop that you had. It's hard to explain, but the house right there on Tracy Creek that we had, amazing the amount of cars at one point that we would shove in there.
Yeah, we had a few cars out of there, but even before I had that, we had a hard time. I even worked out of Jack Steinberg's garage after it closed up. I used to work in there.
Yep.
That was on West Syndica.
Yeah, and so when we talked to Bob Dillner, when we talked to Bob Dillner, Grandpa, a while back, so you haven't had a chance to be here, I don't believe, to Florence, but Florence is very similar to what Shangri-La was, and for a while there, before the gravel pit got there on the outside, you could run off the track anywhere and be safe. It's the same thing here, well, for the most part, the similarities to racing. Florence Motor Speedway versus Shangri-La are very close, but back in the day when you would go to a racetrack at Shangri-La, it was the greatest of the greats, Hall of Fame race car drivers, and you were up there with them. But kind of explain what it was like back in your day when you were running against the Richie Evans, the Mike McLaughlins, the Jerry Cooks, all that stuff.
Well, I didn't run with them too much anymore. but because I had the other classes, I ran the other classes before. And then Bob gave me his two modifieds, and that's when I started the modifieds. It was late, though. But it was good to run. I ran a cut some down to Poconos and Martinsville and where we went.
Yeah. Pocono was the, they built a mock racetrack, right? Wasn't there like a front stretch or on the front stretch? Didn't they build a racetrack there?
The three-quarter one, yeah. Yep. The two-and-a-half mile we ran on a big track. I ran good on that. I didn't run good on the three-quarter.
What was your favorite racetrack to drive?
Probably Shangri-La.
Yeah. Yeah, the
one of the races at Shangri-La.
Yeah. So for those that are watching, not only did he race, at some point took over Shangri-La and promoted it, correct?
Yeah, that was 2004.
Yep. And out of all the things you've done, based on what I know, probably the dumbest thing you did, because I run a racetrack and there's nothing good that comes out of it. I promise you that.
Well, I liked it. We just had a few problems which made me quit.
Yeah.
But I wanted to do it again. In fact, if I wasn't this old, I'd do it again, but I'm just too old to do it now.
Yeah. Well, like I said, there's nothing. It's a lot more difficult than I gave it credit for, Grandpa. As we were growing up with the Dale Canfields and all that, I didn't appreciate them at the time, but now I can promise you I appreciate them now running a racetrack of my own. But for those, I'll kind of step back also and say, for a while, so our family history, we've got a lot of relatives, Owen, Garrett, everyone's kind of starting to get into the third, fourth generation. I'm sure the fifth will be here before too long. Well, I hope I'm not on my end. But anyways, what I was getting at is it stretches outside of just the siblings. Grandma used to drive. We got that cool picture of my grandma. She's passed away, but she'd get in the car, and a lot of times, if I'm not mistaken, Grandpa, we'd put her in there just to go and start and park, make a couple bucks while we were there, right?
No, she wanted to drive. I started off with Glen Aubrey on dirt, and she was afraid of it, so I snuck in the car when nobody's looking, and she went out, and I held the gas pedal with my hand.
So you were in the car with her, no buckles,
yeah.
I'm assuming.
Well, she was out there driving, so she wasn't sticking the gas, so I just left my hand there and pushed it to the floor.
Yeah, see, things were a little bit different back awesome, then. So did she actually? So I know the picture, but did she actually like compete in a race?
Yeah, she did. She did pretty good.
Yeah.
She got the first one at Shangri-La.
Yeah, the one thing we don't have here anymore is back in the day they had powder puff, right? Like, so
yeah.
my mom would.
That's what I'm talking about. The Glen Aubrey, that's what she ran, the powder puff. Shangri-La,
yeah,
so she ran a regular race.
Gotcha. Yeah, so.
We almost ran. We went to Pennsylvania one time and she was going to drive the car, but I wrecked the car so she couldn't drive it. That's it.
So you ruined it for her. It's all good. So when I did a family, or my dad turned 50, which is a while ago now. When I did his little 50th birthday thing, man, it was so cool to see all the different cars that he had. And Grandpa, what I was telling, I've told people this while we're talking, is like that shop we had. What was it? Three bays downstairs?
No, there's two bays. They were long, though. There was a paint booth there.
Yeah,
there was a body shop at one time.
Yeah, way in the back. That became Terry's tire prep area.
It was kind of damp back there.
Yeah, where we weren't allowed to go because you could easily get cancer and heartbeat back in the rotisserie where Terry had set up. But, man, it was so cool as a kid to grow up going up to the shop. We lived right down the street from where the shop was, so I'd walk up to his house and sit there with the breaker bar and brake tires in the morning, and they the logistics of what it took for Grandpa and Terry and the whole family to get all of the vehicles to the racetrack on time. And you and I both know, when people call us and like, I need to get parked on Friday and I got to get my thing here and I want to be here. It was the same way for us is, they had so many cars, but they didn't have enough drivers to get all the cars there at one time. So we'd drive to Owego and then come back and get something and go back. But Grandpa, so you've watched racing over the years. Unfortunately, it's not like it was back in the day when we used to go to the track. You had to qualify no matter what, and we had A mains and B mains just to make the show, and the grandstands were full. So what was it like back in the day, kind of coming up and seeing it all in the transition of today?
Oh, boy.
So what was it like growing up when you were racing and having fun with all your guys and traveling and getting to do all these cool things in the race car?
Well, we had a lot of fun. We had good fun. Went all the dirt tracks and asphalt tracks. Ran all the tracks. Wild Bill helped us a lot.
Yeah, Wild Bill.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had upstate New York people and that are going to tune into this. You know, there's a lot of names, just like we got people down here. We had the Wild Bills of the world. We had Deaf Louie, used to run the gate for us. So you'd come in, and obviously he was deaf.
Oh, Deaf Louie?
Yeah, remember
no.
Deaf Louie?
No, yep. Shangri-La. Yeah,
Shangri-La. Yeah, remember, he used to run the gate. So,
definitely he was deaf. Sometimes yeah. You say like Big John's this tiny guy big guy. Yeah,
definitely he was the gate guy. So yeah. He would he'd check your wristbands and get you in. But you know, we used to have that spot right there in turn one. So when you come into pits, you'd go up kind of almost like a banking, and then we had our spots from the turn one side over. And but it was super cool. And so I'll ask a question because I think I know this story, but want everyone to hear about it. How did you become Gentleman Jim? Steve Post always calls you Gentleman Jim. How did you get the nickname Gentleman Jim?
Oh, that I don't know. I don't know how I got that.
So
that just came, I guess, by itself.
Well, that's good. It's a nice nickname to have. At least people respected you enough to call you Gentleman Jim.
Yep.
I'm trying to ask questions here, but Gold 71 always has been a staple of yours. How'd you get there? So what was that the first when you painted your first car and became 71 in gold, how did you get to that point?
Well, what happened was I started hanging around with Amos Fantulli, and he bought a car from Uncle Al. And he told me, he said, you take a year off and you help me and I'll give you the car at the end of the year. So he gave me the car at the end of the year. It had 71 on it. And I don't know why I painted it gold, but I always painted it gold.
What year?
Yep. Well, like I said, it worked out because since then, besides Owen right now, the majority of us have always been 71, or 7, 17, it, yeah. 07. We've why? Lived and breathed off of all that stuff. So, no, we appreciate you, Grandpa, and appreciate you taking time. I'm sorry it took so long to get here, but thank you for everything just to get us to this point in the racing career. And I know Owen is appreciative because he loves every bit of what we're doing. My family, Morgan and Leanne and Jacqueline, they appreciate being a part of this. And if it wasn't for you putting us in that position, we wouldn't be here today at Florence Motor Speedway. So thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. I had a lot of fun. All it's right. All gone, but I had a lot of fun at the time.
Yep.
Well, like a lot of racetracks.
Is there anything else you could add, just kind of fun stories that you have from your racing career?
Well, one time I met Skyline Raceway. Joe Buchak was with me, and I broke in the heat. That's a dirt track. I broke in the heat, and he says, I ran the con. I won the con. See, after we fixed the car, and he says, "You know where you're starting?" I said, "Yeah, probably 16 or 17." That's when they had a lot of cars. He says, "Well, I'll go look anyhow." So he went looking. He says, "You won't believe where you're starting." I said, "What do you mean where I start? You're starting on the pole?" And so I don't think so. He said, "Yeah." And I hurried up out there. Well, Bill wasn't helping me then. He was helping Bobby King. And everybody knew it was over when I started on the pole.
Did you end up winning? Did you win the race?
Oh yeah.
Nice.
And then no chance for me starting on the pole.
Yep.
Won a lot of races. Skyline.
So did you like dirt or asphalt better?
Well, I didn't mind dirt. The last dirt track I ran was a Dundee, and that was nice. That was 100 lapper for late models.
Yeah, I can tell you right now. So Grandpa, we have a go-kart track here, and to prep a dirt track, it is a lot. So to have a good racetrack like Dundee, you know, it's impressive, because to work the dirt to make it good, is a lot. But I still remember back in the day, so like maybe dirt tracks have it, but I remember pictures, Grandpa, of the Enduro days when they'd go and take a car and it was last man standing. So right. They'd be just stuck on the racetrack until it was over, correct?
Well, yep. Terry and Tommy and them all run the 5 mile point like that. Terry's got a trophy, won a 100 lapper up there.
Yep.
Jimmy won two. Yeah, we used to run all of them races at 5 mile point, them and dirt races.
Tell Steve that story at Glen Aubrey when Wojtek called you to go racing in another car. And what happened?
He's trying to get it.
The Glen Aubrey story when Wojtek called you to go and you didn't have a car the day of the race.
Oh, I drove the Packard. I drove somebody's Packard up to Glen Aubrey because I didn't have a car and I drove his Packard and I won with it. And he took it home and overhauled it and the next week he blew it up.
Oh man. Well, like I said, racing, I can tell you right now, Grandpa, racing has changed overall. These guys come and the technology is insane as far as I don't think they're going to let you ride with Grandma no more.
Pushing the gas pedal.
Yeah, pushing the gas pedal. I don't think that's going to work.
That would be pretty awesome. You could help Owen out. Owen, this is how you do it. Push the gas pedal. Yeah.
You would be impressed.
Too bad.
Do what?
If I didn't get short breath all the time, I'd be all right.
Yeah. All right. Well, we thank you, Grandpa. We love you. Anytime you want to stop back to On Tap, we appreciate it. So, Terry, Gina, thank you for helping out, getting them on here. And, Grandpa, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, James. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks all for calling.
All right. We'll be back on tap here. We'll be back here on tap shortly. So stay tuned for more of the show.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Thanks, Grandpa. Bye. Thanks, Gina. Thank you, Terry.
Now everybody said hello. Oh, I thought you were going to do a whole one.
That's great. Every question you had, like, no, that wasn't. This is how it happens.
So it's my dad, just a different version.
All right, welcome back on tap. Coming out of Speed Weeks 2025, we're going to welcome in Ryan Zima, Legend Car driver, Legend Car winner, Legend Car champion.
A little bit all of the above. Yep. All of the above.
So welcome, Ryan, to On Tap. Appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So Ryan kind of started racing with us here at Florence last year, and man, every time we saw you here, and really anytime you went somewhere, super competitive, no matter what scenario you were put in. We talked about it a little bit last year whenever I would have a chance to announce. I don't want to say underdog. What's the word? Like a man on his own island. Like he's him and his dad, or
they roll
solo team. Yeah,
roll in. At one point, we upgraded the trailer by a few feet. Nothing crazy, but we upgraded by a few feet. But came in like an 8x12 for a little while. Just unloaded and went up head to head with the best of the best when it came to teams.
We definitely updated the lights on the back of the trailer. Sometimes if track lights go out, just turn that trailer around. Them things are pretty nice.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But no, you guys should be proud for everything you guys have accomplished, and thank you for just being a part of Florence Motor Speedway. And how'd you get here? Like, where did you start? Because I haven't actually ever asked you guys this. Did your dad start racing, or was he racing, and you became racing, or did you just start racing?
So, like, pretty much my papa did off-road trucks up north, and then they moved down here to North Carolina, and then a year later my dad came down. So he started working at Stuart Haas, and right from there I started watching the races because he was just doing pit video, and he worked in the pit department with all of them. So I would watch the races with him when I come into work sometimes, and I'd watch him on Sunday, obviously. And I saw the cars, and I told him I wanted to do it, and I mean, here I am. He got me a go-kart, and we started racing out in Millbridge. So it's been a long journey. That was about, like, when I was 7 or 8 when I started. So, yeah, that's where it all started.
Gotcha. And so champion with us last year, went to Speed Weeks last year. Was Speed Weeks last week, was that your first time there? Have you been to Southern National?
He was at a big race, right?
Oh, yeah, 25,000.
Yeah, I did the 25,000 race, and I think we went there, like, twice for the Thanksgiving Classic and then like a race before that. But yeah, that was my first time back this year, and I love that track. So
yeah,
we didn't plan on running the whole thing, but once we got there on Wednesday, I think it was, and we won, and we knew we had a good car, so we figured we'd run the rest of it. So yeah, that's how that kind of came about.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, are you undefeated in 2025 so far?
No.
Okay. Close. I saw you win at Caraway the Sunday prior, and then you won with us here at the first race.
Yeah, I think I got 8 wins this year. We didn't win any at Auburndale for Winter Nationals, so we kind of showed up cold-handed, and it was just kind of learning the whole weekend. We were just learning the car and the setup, and once I figured out the track, it was a little too late to be competitive, but yeah, that's we've pretty much undefeated besides Winter Nationals.
I will say,
Owen can relate with Auburndale, right? A little different animal.
Oh yeah, for sure. Owen, at least Ryan kept all 4 fenders on, I believe, all week. He maybe wasn't as competitive as he wanted, but we did not do that. Owen figured out how to tear it up pretty much every night. But what I was getting at is your grandfather had a good time down there at Camp Margaritaville. The Zima family was down there having fun. That's the thing. Like, so we talked about it with Speed Weeks, Ryan. Ton of fun to race every day, but man, it's super cool when you're in Florida. Like, that changes. Like, we tried to have our, and we're still going to do it, have our Southern Showdown. Yes. Yep. We're going to have our event again where we have multiple days, but man, it's different than being in Timmonsville, South Carolina, being in Florida in the middle of the winter. It's something completely different. So it's a ton of fun, a little frustrating at times, for sure. But yeah, like I said, every time you show up, no matter what situation it's in, everyone knows you're there. So you guys should be proud of that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's been a long 3 years, I guess, I've been doing the Legend Car now and just learning the whole year. And every year, I would just keep getting better and keep getting better. And then last year, it really clicked. And that's when we started pretty much racing. I think we raced almost every week last year. So just staying in the car constantly was definitely helping me. And once the wind started coming, the confidence started getting there, and we started building faster and faster setups, and I got better as a driver in the general. So yeah, it's been a while, it's been a long time, but it's definitely paying off, that's for sure.
Absolutely. So what's the plans for this year? I know we kind of hinted around at national stuff a little bit last year. Is that something in the works, or what's 2025 hold for Ryan Zima?
Yeah, I mean, we're probably not going to race as much, obviously, because now my dad will be back on the road for the truck team pitting. So hopefully a late model, maybe an ARCA or truck one of these days, but definitely the dip my feet into a little bit of late model racing, maybe test that a little bit. I feel ready for it. It'd just be a big step, big car, bigger tire, bigger motor, driving it completely different than a Legend car. So hopefully some of the skills I learned in the Legend car would carry over, but yeah, hopefully a late model this year.
From what everyone says, going from a Legend to something bigger actually becomes easier.
Yeah, I remember Matt's told me years ago that the power to weight ratio, like the Legend's one of the hardest things he'd ever drove.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So we were fortunate enough today. Gracie, is it
Crocker?
Grace? Crocker. She was out here today. Jeffrey Beck stepping up. Bryson Brinkley's. Else is, like, I mean, there's so many people getting to that point, but I say names as if because like we've kind of stayed together, so watching them move up is fun to see these people get into,
and then we also get to the points where you're like, it's justified moving up. I mean, Ryan is definitely justified to move 100%. Up. I mean, he's got the stats to prove.
Yep, no, he'll be good when he gets there. So no, like I said, it's been a good year. It's been a good couple of years for you, and we hope that it continues sponsorship wise. I know you actually, that's one thing you're really good at. Who keeps that thing on the track?
Oh, we got Helmsville Ford has been with me since I was in the go karts at Millbridge, or I guess not the flat karts, but more like the mini outlaws, the smaller sprint car looking cars, and they've been just a part of my journey for a while. And Ford Performance Racing School helps out a little bit. White House Gardens, Carter's Family Dentistry, Race City Pool Service, Belmont's Garage, and Kyle, and that's his dad's little gig there with the dirt cars, and they're really fast as well, with Kyle helping them out every now and then. And Kyle helping me out, setting me up. I mean, he's giving me really fast cars, and none of this would be possible without him. He's been working with me for 3 years now, I guess, since 23, whenever I started. That was the first time I drove a Legend car, and he was there since day one. He just wanted to come help out, and look where we come now. I mean, we're 19 races we won last year, starting off of, like, no experience in asphalt, so he's helped me out a ton, and then all my sponsors. I mean, without them, I couldn't be doing all this, and they're helping me go fast, and they're keeping me out on the track for sure.
Absolutely. Well, Ryan, we appreciate you joining us, and I'm sure you're in the shop now, so I'm sure you got work ahead of you.
Will we see you this week? You coming this week?
Yeah, I will be there on Saturday, yep.
All right, well, I'll get Owen.
Sure, the whole Legend field just went crap.
Yeah, I'll get Owen to jump in line and try to tag along. He's got to get done. We got to get Legends done early because he's got camera work to do in Lakeview. So,
yep.
But Ryan, like I said, for your family and on behalf of us, we appreciate you joining us on tap, but also just your support the last few years being here and being a Legend car. So, thank you for joining us. We wish you nothing but the best going forward.
Yep, thank you. Thank you for an awesome track always.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back on tap with Steve and Brian.
Hey, it's me.
All right, welcome back to On Tap with Steve and Brian. We're joined by, who is it?
Paul Branham, I think. Oh, Burn. That's, let me sound it out here.
That's sound it out. Sorry. You got to sound it.
Yeah, Paul Burnham.
Burnham.
Pretty crucial part to ultra broadcasting, if I say so myself.
A very large part.
Which I know I'm not supposed to take part in, and you said, you just worry about the track.
Yeah, but which would be nice this weekend.
I can tell you, though, when Paul has his fingers involved in definitely. Sorry.
Oh, jeez. Twice, I got to beep it twice.
But you did it last time. But when he's involved, though, so much bigger than what it was at that time with you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mine. Leave him alone, man.
Yeah, mine.
That beep there was like nonstop when you were doing it producing.
Yeah, I did not like producing.
Oh,
but,
what am I doing? Deeps was looking over like, Jesus, this guy.
Yeah. But welcome, Paul. Appreciate you joining us.
Appreciate y'all having me, man.
And we've been honored to have you a part of the team. And I think you and I have talked about it, and Brian can vouch for it. Once you become part of the team and part of the family, you know, we're all in it together. And it's been a lot of work for sure as far as what we're doing right now. And getting to this point, and you and I talked about it a little bit, is that I don't think people realize that we're on episode nine, we're on show four of actual live broadcasts. We had the Icebreaker, we had our first race, which I screwed up personally. Then we had Southern National the week of. Well, actually, not four.
Yeah, more than that.
More than that.
Yeah. Four just in
4 weeks.
Five in Southern National.
Six,
yeah.
Seven. So we're seven.
Yeah. But but still a very short time to try to perfect all of what we're trying to do. And every time we do something, we see something we need to do better. I look forward to that part. I mean, you can never perfect anything. I think you can always, you know, get better every time we do something. But, man, I feel confident in where we are standing here today after Speed Weeks.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I appreciate y'all bringing me along. It's been a fun time. Like you said, part of the family. Like I've just been absorbed in with these guys. It's been incredible. And Steve was kind enough. For those out there that don't know, I'm in the process of selling my house. And Steve reached out and said, man, you need somewhere to stay. You need anything from us? And I mean, to just offer something like that, I mean, I can't thank you enough.
Oh, of course.
Your family and everybody here has been so welcoming and everything. And then not only that, but these guys just giving me the freedom with the broadcast, coming in saying, hey, we just want you to do what you do.
Right.
And you know, we're going to give you everything we can to make it happen. And I can't thank you all enough, man.
Yep.
Seriously, it's been a great time. And I've been having a blast doing it and figuring things out, working on it. And
One of my favorite stories that I'll take when this thing becomes bigger than life is that Paul, he's like, I have to see the racetrack. Like, I need to see the racetrack. I need to see what's happening so I can start to process what cameras need to go where, until we offered him 15 versions of cameras. So we had plenty of speed shots, and we had plenty of speed shots, and he said, I don't need to see, because we gave him so many options to pick from.
I did. I'm very used to doing like three, maybe four camera shows. And I need to see out the window. I need from the tower. I need to see out so that I can kind of help my guys and see what's going on. Man, for the how many we have for the icebreaker?
So we had 11
or 12.
Yeah,
with the, something I think 12 like with the drone.
Yep.
I realized I never took my eyes off the screen.
Yep.
Not one time. I never looked out the window. That whole time I was like, I gotta have the window. I never looked out the window.
Yeah, and we're working on our first ever production trailer right now.
Windows anymore at all.
Yeah, zero windows. But you do have AC and heat, so that's
that
nice.
That part I'm thankful for, especially with the summer.
Yeah, but so we go to Lakeview this weekend, and I told you before, I'm looking forward to it because for both of us, this will be our first attempt at something different. We've done you kind of like, I guess let's actually start from the other side. Fill us in on how you got to here as far as your production stuff.
Okay. So I started out right around the time COVID started. I was kind of like everybody. We were all kind of stuck at home and looking for something to do. And I started streaming on Twitch, playing some video games, stuff like that. Picked up with a drift simulator-ish game. Not really, but I started something called Slide Style Drift Series. And that kind of started the journey of broadcast production. I was doing the cameras. I was commentating. I was race director at the same time.
Nice.
It was ridiculous. I was like, felt like an octopus all over the place. And there was a post from South Boston Speedway about they were looking for a broadcast producer. And so I was looking for a job and things at the time. And I was like, I don't know how this is going to work out or whatever. But I reached out, and Trace Brashears was the manager there at the time. And they wanted me to come down and gave me the opportunity I've been watching late model stock car racing and short track racing since I was little bitty, going to a Southside Speedway. And so to take that knowledge, but just I knew nothing about broadcast stuff and coming in just with the racing knowledge, and they gave me the opportunity. They said, just have at it.
Right.
And I've had an absolute blast there. Love those guys. Still do South Boston. That's still a huge part of my life. But the opportunities working there, was able to do jump on board some Cars Tour broadcasts in 2023 and be a camera operator there. And I've just met so many people along the way. I was able to meet you guys that way. And here we are coming into 2025, Ultra Broadcasting starting up. And like we said earlier, you guys offering me the opportunity to come in here and do this. So it's been a relatively short story so far, honestly,
yep,
of getting to this point. I've had a blast. I've learned so much from so many different people and companies and the teams I've gotten to work with. I've gotten to do Snowball Derby. I got to do Martinsville 300. I've been involved in so many incredible shows, and then turn around and do the Icebreaker here and get to do the Thanksgiving Classic. It's been a journey, man.
Paul,
it's been an absolute blast.
Paul promised me if I do make the race this year and his graphics are on,
I'm getting
the greatest.
Once you said Martinsville, I knew what was coming.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I know exactly where Steve's mind goes.
If you guys watch the Valley Star Credit Union 300 this year and Steve Zacharias makes the
let's start the first part.
I think hell freezes over also.
We're going to hook that car up. And then when he makes the race,
the
and we're doing the
hell of a battle for 40th back here,
yeah,
Steve Zacharias.
I know it's funny. What was that college from?
But there's gonna be, I'm telling you, his name is gonna come up. There's gonna be fireworks,
yeah,
shooting. I'm gonna have it do the whole thing.
Oh yeah, trust me. If I make the race, there's gonna be fireworks. that's a guarantee. I can see the leaders coming up, be like, oh Jesus, what is he doing? Get him out of the way.
Well, I'll be on at 6.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Easy.
Hey, you know what's gonna look, you know what'd be cool? Ultra broadcasting rap on the race car.
Oh yeah.
Oh, wow. Hey. We've definitely talked about that.
There,
yeah,
we go.
And URA on there too.
Yeah, like I said, at this point I just want to make the race. I don't care. It could be a plain car with no numbers. I just I'm pretty desperate to just make the race.
Yeah. Who was was it a cup driver that had their face on the hood? Who was that?
Actually,
my sponsor is me.
No, what was last year with
who put their, oh, Corey LaJoy did.
It was Corey,
that's
actually,
right.
That's,
yeah,
LaJoy,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
LaJoy,
yeah, yeah.
But who raced and had a quote on the hood that was like a movie quote? And I said, is that like, it had something to do with,
oh,
Will
it
Ferrell.
Was it was Prestige Worldwide.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And it was here in the pro late model race. Who was that? Spencer Davis, maybe?
Yeah, it was definitely Spencer Davis. Yeah,
yeah.
And he has Prestige Worldwide. And I went
yeah
up, I was like, is that what I think it is?
That's
it's like exactly
it
what it is.
That
it's like,
exactly,
it's like
it
had nothing to do with nothing other than just like this, like just wanted to put a sticker. But
yeah, to go back to Paul's point, I think like learning it this way, so recent everything, and you've been behind the camera, that only makes you better behind the scenes on production. Mm-hmm. Like you know exactly the look that you want to attain and what you want to get to, and you could tell them guys and girls, and they pull it all for you.
Yeah, I've been really lucky to get to do. I've been a camera operator. I've done audio stuff, the graphics stuff. That's kind of my. For those that know me, that's kind of my main thing, because I come from a programming background. Years before, you know, talk about COVID. So like beyond before that, I was a programmer. I'm a computer geek. That's me. So getting to do that stuff, and yeah, having that, you know, all those things translate into doing all this and just getting the experience and the opportunities to work with other teams, see how different, because like different companies do things different ways.
Sure.
And different racetracks with, because you're limited in camera positions and things like that, and getting to see all that is really cool. And I think it's translated a lot into just having to overcome the different situations. You end up at different tracks and broadcast with different cameras and all that.
I don't think we want to take the risk of putting a camera on the outskirts between turns one and turn four at Florence.
We'll put it in mom's car.
It'll be a good shot briefly.
Put a camera on my mom's car. But no, I think a lot of it goes to, like, again, I'm not a huge Patriots fan. Obviously, I'm a Bills fan, but I still am a Bill Belichick fan. And I think, you know, and McDermott's doing the same thing now, slowly. But you got to build a team around
you.
That's right. Like, you can't do it by yourself. You can't be a head coach and be a camera operator and be a quarterback and be a wide receiver. So putting good people in good places and trusting that they can do that work, I think that shows in the quality of what we're putting out, because we've given you the freedom and we know you can do it. So with it, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. And we trust in you. And man, I'm telling you right now, like the texts I get, I'm not going to put us head-to-head like out loud, but we're comparable to any streaming service right now when it comes to their broadcasts. I don't care if it's the big race here or the big race there. Anything we've put out so far has been quality. And not just quality. It's been, you know.
Oh, really good.
Really good. So,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, so, and again, that's puts it on you, is that you put, like you and I talked about, it's all about the work put in. Like, you can't show up an hour before and be like, oh, we'll figure it out. Like, you got to put the work in. And as long as we put the work in, it's going to show on the back end. And if this thing ever got bigger, which we all hope it will, if it ever gets bigger and it becomes something, you know, we'll never stray away from that. Quality has to be good wherever we go.
Absolutely.
So that's a key for what we're trying to do. But no, like I said, what you've done and I know there's some things that you talked about you want to work on. Mm-hmm. Going forward, the things you see, what would you like to see better on our broadcast?
So what I'm looking forward to doing and trying to add into all of the shows that I'm involved with is the most important thing to me right now is highlights. And being able to show, because right now, kind of, you know, operating as one and two man teams as far as like in, well, we're building the production trailer right now, but in, you know, the trailer at the controls, you know, it's, I've designed everything to work around the idea that I'm doing it myself. So I'm not used, you know, with the larger, you know, bigger productions, like when you see like the NASCAR team with Fox or NBC, you see it's a truck and it's got 15 people and you've got audio people and replay people and all that. So we're very limited with the personnel that we have. So the one thing that I just can't do because I don't have enough arms is to take highlights during the show. So, of course, I can get replays of if there's a crash, I can, you know, hit my button. Oh, I've got a replay, adjust the replay, and then show it, you know, on the broadcast. But when there's a great pass for the lead or we want to, you know, take all the moments of the show and then at the end, you know, after the late model stock race, let's, you know, while we're setting up the next division, well, let's recap that late model stock race. I just don't have the arms to do it.
Right.
So I'm trying to come up and develop a way to make it easy for like a two-man team to be able to handle the typical broadcast. So all of your replays, audios, everything that goes in there. So I think the next big step is figuring out those highlights and replays and being able to do that type of content, because I feel like that adds a huge amount to the show. Because after you've watched, like this past week, watching 125 laps green flag racing, there was passes and action going on all over the track. But after 125 laps straight with no breaks, you get to the end of it and you're like, man, I know it was a good race, but I can't. What happened?
Yeah,
and
right.
To have that highlight package, I think would be. So I think that's kind of our next step.
That would definitely be useful in red flags, because sometimes in red flags it gets weird.
Oh yeah,
like we saw the wreck. about three times.
Yeah.
We've interviewed who we could interview. Now what we do.
And yeah. Now we're just, yeah, yeah. You've got
now,
to wait.
Now we have our six, we have our, right. We have our six commercials.
yeah, that's something else we need to work on. We're going to, hey, if you're out there and you're watching On Tap right here, Ultra Broadcasting, we would love to feature you in a race because right now we've only got a handful of commercials.
Who knew? Marketer as well.
Yeah. Hey, how about that?
Sold. The I will say that, like, you probably watch it different, but I definitely have started watching them different. But to your highlight stuff, like when they just out of nowhere pull up highlights for, like, in the cup race, like when you're watching NBC and you're watching Fox, it's amazing. I mean, but again, I was fortunate enough with Savannah. She took us into the trailers at Darlington. They've got, like you said, they've got bodies everywhere with their own people, and so there's multiple things. Right now, you're working as a one-man band, and like I said, literally as a one-man band, like with the drums over here and the tambourine over here, but you're doing an amazing job, so it'll only get better, but right now, you know, I think what we're putting out is quality, you know, that's been the whole thing.
Well, I think we get to a happy medium too. Cause I mean, let's not disregard Joe Malish. He does an amazing job. He gets some highlight reels together now, too, but he's in the infield.
Absolutely,
and he's working for like the track pages as well. So we merge that
content. Man,
yeah.
He is. So I was specifically talking about the live aspect on the show. I mean, the camera work itself from Joe is like unbelievable, and the stuff he's able to get to me in a short amount of time. If he's able to cross the track, because like he said, he's in the infield, but if he's able to cross the track, he comes up with that, the flash drive and whatever, and boom, it's in, and we've got it on the broadcast. So I totally mean that in a, you know, live show highlight sense, because I mean, man, it's the social media content, the posts he's putting together is... It goes to your point as well of us having the team.
Right.
And we're surrounding ourselves with incredible people. And that's, I can't think of how many times. So here's another behind the scenes for everyone watching is our two camera operators for the entire Speed Week at Southern National was none other than Leanne and Owen Zacharias, Steve's kids. And I've from the jump at the beginning, and I'm not saying this because Steve's here, I'll say this any day of the week. Two of the best camera operators I've ever worked with. And how old? Owen's
he just turned 15.
Just turned 15. Leanne's 17. Got his, 15 and 17. Yep. I mean, the natural talent. I mean, obviously it helps being around racing their entire lives and everything like that. But I can't tell you how many times I told Leanne, like, you saved me there.
Right.
Like, it's I've been saying for weeks now, I love what I do. I'm blessed to get to do what I do. But I'm not any kind of spectacular talent. I don't feel like I'm doing anything special. I'm surrounded by incredible people that work with me, and at the end of the day, people like Leanne and Owen, that's just like I could be panicking on the headset going, oh, what do we do, and then they got the perfect shot that I need at the perfect time.
I think we've done a pretty good job, like yourself and me, knowing who's passionate about the sport. We always talk about passion, and it's like being on that canoe with the paddles out, not just the one person who thinks they can do it all, and that boat's just going to keep going around.
Right.
But we put ourselves together with a team. Everyone wants to go upstream. They have the same mindset of where we want to get to, and I mean, that's why we keep going.
Yep. And what is the saying? If you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. The kids love what we're doing. I love what we're doing. You love what you're doing.
I love what I'm doing, but I've worked a lot of days in my life.
Yeah. But
cue the grunting that we were talking about. Yeah. Body hurts.
As we get done with moving tires. Actually, Paul. So Paul is staying on property and until he, which sounds like hopefully house sold shortly.
It's, so yeah, with, yeah, you, which is nice. Shocked. So but, we're going to be close.
Yeah, but all it takes is a couple more tire unloads, and you'll be like, no, I'm out of here.
Days,
yeah. I'll find
some possums and trash cans. And
I'm all about it, man. Where was I at? Soon as that truck pulled up, I said, what are we doing?
Yep.
We got tires? Let's do it.
But like I said, the kids did a good job. You did an amazing job. We're putting things in place, and we're going to get more and more tracks involved. But right now, this week, we've got Florence Motor Speedway on Saturday. We've got Lakeview. That's our big kind of, I don't want to call it, it's not even really a challenge, but it's our one that we want to prove our point.
Yeah.
It's not a challenge. We feel confident, know we're going to put on a good show just like we did at Southern National. But like here, everything's built in. Like, everything's run. Like, we ain't got to, like, we're taking in that trailer for the first time and putting on a show at someone else's place.
Yeah. That we're not familiar with. It's like a step into the unknown there.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's our big, our big thing this week is focusing on make sure that, again, like we said, we want everything to be great. So when we get to Lakeview, it needs to look exactly the same. And I know it will be. It's just definitely right now, people never see, like, they never see and can't understand what it takes to just put a race on. They'll never understand what it takes to put a production on. So
there's a lot of work that goes into it. It's like you guys, the big talk of the last 2 years has always been the tires. It's every year in racing, but it's like when Mike was here talking about going to the Hoosier Distribution Center and the manufacturing center, and seeing how many hands are individually put on those tires to make that happen, and then to come to you and you to to sort the sets and everything, If people were able to see more of that work, they would have, a little bit better appreciation, or maybe complain a little less. Just a little bit less, maybe. But I think it's the same thing with the broadcast. If people knew what went in, all of the work, the weeks and time of putting work in on the back end, just showing up at the track and pointing cars at the racetrack, that's just the last 10%. To me, at least. So I really think that the preparation and all that goes into it's what's most important. I think if people knew a little bit more about that, they would, because some, you see the comments online, of all different companies of, oh, this wasn't good, or this camera was glitching, or this was messed up, and it's like, man, if you knew the 500 fires we put out to get to this point.
Well, like I said, and we had a glitch. We'll be honest about it. We had a little glitch there, in the middle of the any car. But what's crazy is, like, you're sitting there and you're watching and everything's going exactly how it's supposed to go. And no different than the flow side for us last year. We're going and going. All of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, we're not going.
We're not live.
What the hell just happened?
Yep.
And then you got to figure out. So now you're in fire mode. And then I start getting texts like, hey, broadcast is down. I'm like, I know. Just give me a second.
And that's where I'm in a weird spot because I'm, want to be on both sides of it. But I can't stop the race for that. Like, I got to accommodate these guys on the infield. Like, so we got to continue on.
Yeah, we got to keep going.
Show must go on.
Yeah. Sure. So it's definitely weird, but everything is super cool, and I've enjoyed every minute of this so far, and I'm looking forward to the future. We thank you, Paul, for everything you've done, everything you're gonna do. Like I said, we're in this together, looking forward to it. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, appreciate it. Once again, before we go, man, I really do. I appreciate the opportunity for you guys. Let me come in, be a part of this team, and kind of like you said, be a part of the family, and letting me stay here, and I don't think I'm going to stray far.
No.
I feel like I got kind of a new home here, and I'm really enjoying what I'm doing. So thank y'all for having me, and thanks for everyone for watching and hanging out with us.
We're like Olive Garden, right? When you're here, your family.
Yeah, when you're here. So, yeah. Speaking of that, we got Meatloaf coming up.
Hey, Meatloaf, and when you're on tap, your family.
Right? Yeah.
That's right. Here you go.
But we appreciate everyone joining us here on tap, and we'll see you on the other side of the break. All right, that has been On Tap. What an episode coming out of a long week at Speed Weeks. Had a special edition. Took the show on the road to Ultra Broadcasting Studio A.
Upgraded.
We definitely upgraded. Yep. We're back here in our studios, which I still think are a good. I think it's
yeah,
a
tree's
good
still studio. Growing behind us, by the way. It's moving around, but
fake,
it's still
fake as all get up.
Taller every time.
But we had put together a great show with my grandfather. We had Paul Burnham came in and talked to us, as well as Ryan Zima.
Yep.
So our points leader here, our points champion from the previous year here.
I forgot about Auburn, but Zima is on fire.
He
won at Caraway, won here, won at Southern National, every race at Southern National.
Auburndale's tough because it's day in. I talked to his dad a little bit down in Auburndale. Is never been there before.
So it's like polar opposite from Citrus County. Because that's where it was at for a couple of years there prior, right?
So, So Auburndale was, I don't want to say polar opposite, but definitely different, right? Never been there, no notes. Setup is a little bit different. But, man, I'll tell you what, the one crazy thing about there, and I thought there was a couple of people that were going to do it. So, they have openings, like, down the backstretch. So, like, we have our opening in turn one, but they have an opening in the middle of the backstretch, like, kind of more towards the entry at turn three. But if you get hooked, dude, you're going face first, and you're going to hit the end of a wall, and very concerning. I saw a couple times Owen didn't do that, but he did a lot more. He found every piece of that property with his car. But no, it's you know, for Ryan to go there, and again, it goes back to what we talked about with Southern National for your win at the Double Down event. Quality cars everywhere. Yeah. So whether it's the semi-pro, Young Lions, Masters, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, because they separate them there. That's right. Yeah.
So everybody shows up, and you got the best of the best. So you know, our class with Owen with Young Lions, I mean, just speed was incredible, and everybody was there for the first time. But yeah, Ryan Zima, just everywhere he goes, he seems like he's got it together. His dad's super smart when it comes to setup. Obviously, been involved in the you know, the cup world and the trucks and stuff like that. So having that knowledge helps. But nice family. Great to talk to them. But we go into this weekend. Florence Motor Speedway, opening night for late model stocks, opening night for trucks. Back to it with Legends and Bandos.
Limited late models, first points night as well.
Limited late models coming in for the first time. So we've got that. And then we go to Lakeview following that when it comes to Ultra Broadcasting. So going to be a heck of a weekend. Weather's going to be great. As always.
Always beneficial, no doubt.
We've been fortunate with that, especially like with our Ultra Broadcasting stuff. Going to Lakeview is that's like, so for you and I at Florence Motor Speedway, if it's a chance of rain, we're going to continue. Like, just you're going to dry it up. But man, a dirt track, if it is a chance of rain, it throws
a lot of variables going in that.
Yeah, there's so many moving parts to what they have to do. So it looks like right now, I talked to Tim today. Looks like everything's on the you know, go and should be good. I know he said it's so wet right now, he's waiting it out before he even touches the track because it's got too much moisture. So he'll wait that out, and we'll have a good show. Looking forward to that broadcast when we talk to Paul. Looking forward to what that show looks like. I'm excited. I'm telling you, when we talked about a lot last episode, that County Line race, when you see that car just like left front up in the air, the shots we're about to put on, I think are going to be so much cooler for a dirt race than they will be late.
Well, that makes me wonder, like, the camera location, where do you go? Because there's going to be a lot of dust flying and debris.
About to find out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, same.
So next week we'll be down a couple cameras.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
The old clunk of dirt got it.
Remember that paycheck you usually get? Not next week.
Damn.
We gotta reinvest in some cameras. But no, it's gonna be fun. We appreciate you know, everyone that's tuned in. We've actually had quite a bit of response to this stuff, strangely. I know we kind of started this and joked around that it might be fun for him and I to sit and have a beer after we got done unloading tires. But, well, you unloaded tires and Paul. Yeah. But
I'm glad you're starting to figure that out.
I went and got RG6 cables getting ready for Lakeview. But, no, it's like I said, it's the response has been good. People tune in. People like that when I'm having conversations with them, they're like, oh, when you said on you know, on your podcast.
Yep.
So it's been great, and we appreciate it.
Well, the interviewees have been really good, too. Like, yeah. They give a pretty good interviews for us. We bounce off of Diaz. I keep going back to Diaz one because of the fact that he went to, like Paul said, he went to the plant and saw how the tires were made. I mean, the way that one doesn't have more views than anything else, I just don't understand.
Well, it's a Doug.
Oh, well, no, it's Doug. That's why we brought him back.
Yeah, hence Doug. Why. Doug, yeah. Doug gets the views. But no, it's another good episode. Could be the equal time wise, or it could be a lot shorter. We don't know. But we appreciate everyone that joined us today, and we look forward to episode 10. Could be that's an anniversary.
Double digits. Look at us.
Yeah, look at us
going places.
We'll get our driver's license before too long. Nice. So. Looking forward to episode 10 next week after we get through our race in Lakeview. And
Catch My Drift, right?
And Catch My Drift, yep, at Southern National. We got a drift event. It's going to be on Ultra Broadcasting. So we appreciate you guys joining us, and we'll see you next week on Tap.